The Defense Department is shaking up the $380 billion F-35 Joint Strike Fighter program. Yesterday, Lieutenant General Christopher Bogdan, the program director, explained how the Pentagon was asking major contractors to put skin in the game and invest in cost reduction measures. Now, in the second part of our interview, Bogdan takes a long-term view on the Pentagon's sometimes rocky relationship with Lockheed Martin and other key players.
Until we learn enough about the airplane in terms of maintaining it and modifying it and changing it, we necessarily have to be tied to the supply chain and industry. But I can tell you we're building into the future lots and lots of competition on this program so that nobody is guaranteed future work. They have to earn it. So that's one comment. As to the relationship, when I took over this program, I am on record as saying that the relationship between industry and the program office and the Pentagon was the worst I had ever seen. I believe that then. I believe that relationship is improving. We have a long way to go still. I think the main reason why the relationship is improving is because now, even though we still have conflict, and even though we still have different agendas, and even though we still disagree on things, we're communicating in a constructive way. The communication that I saw when I first came on the program was destructive. It was finger-pointing and blame. Now the communication is, okay, let's get past the deconstructive part and the blaming, and let's figure out what we need to do to make this program successful. Part of my cultural change there is holding ourselves and industry accountable when we don't do things right and making each other stand up and say that. And then we get past the blame part right away and we can get to solving problems and communicating better. So we're on a journey here. It's not perfect. In fact, you never want a cozy relationship between the U.S. government and industry. You always want some tension there because we have different outcomes and desires. But it has to be a constructive conflict and a constructive dialogue, and that's what we're trying to move towards.
Now, all of this conflict and resolution and cost is about a thing, which is an airplane. You're an old test pilot. Is the plane itself worth all of this effort? Is it good?
You know, the airplane today is in an immature state, meaning that we're still developing it. But what I can tell you is, from my personal opinion, as being in the acquisition career for 20 plus years and being a test pilot for 20 plus years, when we deliver the final capability of this airplane in about 4 years, it will be eye-watering. It is a marvelous technological underpinning. And what I mean by that is, here you have an airplane that can fly 1.6 Mach supersonic. It is stealthy. It can't be seen. It can go places where people today can't go. At the same time, we'll have a variant that can land on an aircraft carrier. We'll have a variant that can take off and land vertically. We will carry all of the weapons that our partners need and all the weapons that we need. But most importantly, this is going to be a really smart airplane. And what do I mean by that? It knows so much about what it's flying around and what the threats are and telling the pilot where the danger is and where the danger isn't, that it is truly the next generation in terms of technology and information. And what it's going to do is it's going to make all the other airplanes and all the other weapons platforms in the battle space smarter, because we're going to connect it up with all of them. And when you have a smart player in the battle like that, it makes everybody better. That's not an easy thing to do, by the way, to make this airplane as smart as it needs to be. And so part of what you hear in our development pain is the software that's used to develop this information system that surrounds the airplane. And that's tricky business, and it's hard to do, and we have a lot more things to get done. But in the end game, this airplane will be a step above anything that the rest of the world has or that the services have.
Do you wish it had two engines?
That's an interesting question. You know, the Air Force has had great experience with single-engine fighters, with the F-16. We've also had great experience with two engine airplanes. I will tell you thus far what I've seen on this program, notwithstanding the problem we had at Eglin, which we can talk about, the engine on this airplane has been hugely reliable. Far more reliable than we ever thought it would be at this early stage. So even though we're having some hiccups early on and we're watching it, I think the single engine F-35 is going to serve us well.
We're speaking with Lieutenant General Christopher Bogdan, the program director of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter Program. Should the recent fire aboard the F-35, should that incident worry us?
You always want to be worried when an airplane breaks. You want to really be worried when an airplane breaks, whether it's in the air or taking off and landing. So first, I will tell you that we're extremely grateful that no one was hurt in this incident. The pilot got out of the airplane safely. All the first responders put the fire out and were safe, and we're grateful for that. We're currently looking into what the root cause of that problem was, and we're focusing our attention on the engine. That's about all I can say. But it is not unusual in a development program like this, and we only have about 60% of all our flight testing done so far, that you are going to find things wrong, and it is a dangerous business sometimes, and these kinds of things are going to happen. My commitment to the warfighter is I will never, ever, ever put them in an airplane, one, that I don't think is safe, and two, I don't think is going to get the mission done and get them home safely. So that's my commitment to them, and we're working on that right now.
And finally, I did want to ask you about the international partners, because as deep as you at the Pentagon are in this program, they're also invested, and there have been some inclinations from some of them that they perhaps don't want to be as invested as they are. What are you doing to ensure that those international partners stay in for the long haul?
Yeah, that is a great question, Emily. So our partners, just like the U.S. government, have their own budget and political problems and their own ways of dealing with things. So I won't necessarily talk about that. What I will talk about is what can I do to help them stick to this program. First and foremost, deliver what we promise. If we deliver them the capability they need at a price that is affordable to them, then they will hang around. Okay, so that's first and foremost. But second, more immediate than that, is the real reduction in the price of this airplane moving forward has a lot to do with economies of scale and buying lots of airplanes. And it does the partnership no good when any of the partners or any of the services change their buy profile or move their airplanes to the right. So we are trying to come up with some incentives for people to stick with the number of airplanes that they want to buy. An example of that would be in the future, probably in the next 3 or 4 years, we will look to try and implement what we call a multi-phased or a multi-year block buy. And basically the proposition is this. If you partner or U.S. service agree to buy this number of airplanes over this number of years, we will guarantee you some kind of savings. Okay, so you lock in on how many you want to buy over how many years, and we will lock in on the price. And if you don't get in on that deal and you come in later to buy those airplanes, you might not get that price. So we're looking to try and find ways to incentivize people to stick with what they plan on doing, because ultimately that's what's going to drive the price of the airplane down.